You'll find engaging illustrations, colorful layouts, and helpful charts in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 Visual Edition.
So tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Take a little break from interviews to go through some listener email on the Issues Etc. comment line. Two ways that you can, especially our beloved on-demand listeners, can continue to keep the lines of communication open. You listen on demand. You don't have the opportunity, like live listeners, to engage in the conversation in real time, but you still have a question, something you'd like to add, something you'd like to question yourself, you didn't sound right, or maybe you want to second something. We leave the Issues Etc. listener comment line open 24/7. It's 618-223-8382. And our listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, for your email and for your comments.
True story, Julie Johnson, our accountant that keeps us out of jail, just told me this story. She listened late one night to listener email in our mindless banter. She said it put her to sleep in 5 minutes.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Are you ready?
Yes. Julie, glad we could help you sleep.
John writes, I am very disturbed by Pastor David Peterson's assertion about marriage that women are more valuable than men in the context of the marriage. In summary, he says that a woman can get along just fine without her husband, for example, if he leaves for military duty and is killed, but a man can't manage without his wife if the roles are reversed. This is feminism's argument, isn't it? Thanks for listening and thanks for the feedback, John.
No, I think he was just making a general observation about the importance of I think he was kind of making a practical and pastoral observation about the importance of the average wife to both the rearing of the children and the maintenance of a home. I think that's what he was observing there, that men may not have either the skill set or probably more likely the time to do those things. And I don't think he would buy into the feminist argument in the least. I would be deeply surprised if David Peterson bought into the feminist idea that a woman can kind of make it on her own. In fact, we should probably just ask him about that the next time we have him on in that series on Christian marriage. Are you turning feminist? Maybe that could be our first question when we get him back on and allow him to explain. I think he's also going to have a lot to say in that series about marriage, about how you cannot be both mom and dad. You cannot be both husband and wife. It is optimal that there be, in both in marriage and family, both. So, no, I don't think he's turning feminist at all.
This just came in yesterday from Douglas. When using Amazon Fire TV, your pop-up banner for the fall conference is so large, it makes it impossible to close the banner and the site is inaccessible. Thanks and God bless your outreach. Douglas.
I think I know exactly what he's talking about, because when I was actually testing that pop-up earlier this week, and Jeff just laughs because he doesn't have to solve this problem. He just sticks his head in my door and say, solve that problem with the pop-up. And then the next day we'll say, is the problem solved? Look, I'm a well-educated guy, but I've been made webmaster of Lutheran Public Radio just by sheer force of gravity over the years. And I'll do my best to make it smaller. The problem is if I make it any smaller, then Jeff's going to come in and say, you can't read the names under the pictures if you make it smaller. Now, it sounds like your problem you know what we really should have done, Jeff? We probably should have tested this with a bunch of people on different devices before we decided to throw it up there. That would have been what an IT person would have suggested.
I never thought about TV, though. He's watching on TV.
He's watching on Fire TV. So Fire TV is just basically that's Amazon's way of getting the internet through its various apps onto your television.
So isn't there like a view setting where you can put it like normal or 110 or something like that?
You may not be able to control that depending on what you may or may not be able to control that. I had this problem when I was testing it. I had it on the setting for a larger setting for the pop-up to sit up. This is all completely backroom nonsense. This is worse than mindless banter. And it's the same thing happened to me. I could see the thing pop up, but I could not access the little close X in the corner because it was too big and it went off the screen. So I had access to the settings. I was able to fix it that way. I'll try making it a little bit smaller. And if that works, I hope it helps his situation with Fire TV. We're still trying to work through the fact that Jeff wants a pop-up. Jeff gets a pop-up. If Jeff wants a pop-up, he gets a pop-up. He's going to get him a pop-up. We'll be right back.
As easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away. Send me an email that says I love you.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Well, did you get my message? Ooh, did you get my message?
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, August the 30th, we are going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line for a few more minutes. Then Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us for part 5 of our series on the prophets, and the divine tribunal will be in the prophet Hosea with him. That's about 20 minutes from now.
Caleb writes, he listens in Milwaukee, home of the dreaded Milwaukee Brewers, who are, where are they, half game behind us in the wild card race? Where are they? The St. Louis Cardinals?
Yes.
Yeah, Deacon Fredrickson said half game behind us.
And depending on how things go over the next two nights with us, they might pass us by again.
So. I promise that my Yadier Molina rant will be less than a minute. Craig, start clock now. Listening to the game last night, Cardinals playing the Pirates. It's a night game. Mike Shannon, the Cardinal announcer, said Yadier Molina is fifth in the National League in batting average during daytime games.
But it was a night game.
It was a night game. Got to find a stat where Yadier's leading somewhere in the top five, or top
ten. That is true trivia. It's truly irrelevant to the situation.
Anyway, Caleb.
28 seconds.
Wow, that was good. Caleb Milwaukee. Listening to the most recent responding to listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line broadcast, you mentioned the soon-to-be revamping of the Issues Etc. website. This is great news. Well, I'm glad you asked. We just wrote a check for that today to revamp the website.
Is it going to have pop-ups?
I just signed it.
We're going to have pop-ups?
Hey, from now on, I want Craig, Lynn, and you to just call me pop-up. On that note, will you also be planning to revamp the dreadful Lutheran Public Radio mobile app? There are many things which make that app absolutely painful to use. One example is this. After opening the LPR mobile app and using the archive option on the lower left part of the screen, we are brought to the on-demand archive list. upon finishing a particular on-demand archive episode, we do not have the capability to backtrack to the on-demand list of episodes to then select another episode to listen to. Instead, we are forced to close the app, reopen it, and navigate back to the list. Caleb, this is what I do every night when checking the audio after it's posted on our website. I feel your pain.
We're aware of the problem. By the way, Craig, I need you to flag this particular point in the conversation because we're just going to take this. We're going to cut this MP3 and we're going to send it straight to Subsplash.
Exactly.
Because if I try to explain it, Subsplash is the company that the platform through which we developed the app.
Caleb concludes, if you are not planning on updating the app soon, at least from a user interface perspective, please, please reconsider. I really enjoy being able to listen to LPR, whether it be music or talk radio, using my iPhone, and having an updated app to painlessly navigate through would significantly improve the experience for us mobile listeners. Thanks for the feedback, Caleb.
We're also working on that. When I say we're, I mean me, working on that particular problem. And we've been aware of that problem. It's been there since the very inception of the app. And we've heard it from more than one listener. Is that right, Jeff? We've heard this particular complaint from more than one listener.
The very first complaint was Pastor Benjamin Ball, my pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Hamel. And he is spot on.
I'm going to try to explain why this is a bit of a problem to solve. Because we produce 10 live hours of radio, 10 plus live hours of radio every week. And that takes up a lot of space. If I contact Subsplash and say, hey, we want to solve this problem, I know what they're going to tell me because they've already told me. They're going to say, hey, all you got to do is just put those particular shows and let us host those shows at our server, and then we can work it out so that people don't have to navigate outside the app and come back. Because what you're essentially doing is you're being forced to navigate to our website, a mobile version of our website, and then that takes you out of the app. And Subsplash says, sure, we can host your audio, but they're dealing largely with churches that post one 50-minute sermon a week. And everyone tells us, sure, we can host your audio, until they realize how much space our audio actually ends up taking up every week. And they'll say, oh, unlimited storage, but there's no such thing as that. So the solution to this, we've arrived upon a solution. It's not perfect, but it's better than nothing. It won't give you access to the entire corpus of issues, et cetera, because in order to do that with the current structure of the app, Subsplash would have to host the audio, and then they would end up saying, sure, we can do it, and then later saying, wait a minute, we had no idea that you were going to post 10 hours every week, and we would say, yes, we told you that, but no one ever believes us. So we're going to come up with a solution that allows us to put that stuff essentially inside the app, but it's going to be a 30-day window. So you can get today and 30 days prior.
Hopefully.
And it's going to be that 30-day window that moves along day by day, but it won't give you access to that. If you want that access, if you want something that's older than 30 days, you will have to do it the way you're doing it now, the old way. Again, you're dealing here with a guy who has a theological education, who's trying to solve these problems for you. I'll just put out the call, and we're going to get calls from people who think they can do it, but they don't realize what we need. We need someone who actually knows what they're doing in this. Someone who has the whole toolkit of dealing with things like the app, with the website, with audio, understands what our particular needs are here, and is able to do all of that. That's what we really need. And before you say you can do it, we've been looking. How many years have we been looking, Jeff?
Too many to count.
Years for this technical expertise. I definitely don't have it. We're just kind of limping along with Pastor Wilkins' skill.
Here's a question from Tom. How can I know that I am worshiping God and not only my perception of God, and thus a false God? Would I not be committing idolatry by worshiping an image of God that I have formed in my mind instead of the one true God? Thanks for the email, Tom.
That's actually an excellent question. It's a bit existential, but I think the best answer to that is an answer really that to which Lutheran theology is especially suited to give an answer. If this is what we were faced with, to kind of believe in God, to trust in God, and to worship God only in terms of what we could conceive of in our minds, we would all be in this boat of how do I know that what I think is God is really God? How do I know, as you actually ask, how do I know that my perception of God is God and not something I've simply fooled myself into believing is God? This is why Lutheran theology puts such a strong emphasis on what Luther would have called the external word. Not what you think inside, not what you imagine inside, or much less what you feel or experience inside, your mind, your heart, whatever you want to call it. Not what you experience, but what God's word objectively, externally, actually says. So I'll just put it in personal terms. How do I know that I call upon the true, one, living God? The only way I know that is if that God has revealed himself to me, to his whole church, through his word, through scripture. So I don't trust what I perceive about God. I trust what God says about himself. It's always upon the word itself, God's word, and not my perception of it or my, I'm going to be careful here, my particular way of reading it. What does God's word say? What does God say of himself? He says that he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does Father mean? We delve deeper into God's word and we learn, as the church has learned and has continued to confess, that we're talking about the God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. You want to go a little deeper? Who is that? Then you look at, this is why we have catechisms, folks. You look at what God's word teaches about that. And Luther would put it in very simple terms about who God is. He has made me and all creatures. He has given me all the gifts to sustain this body and life, and he still preserves them all out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. That's a brief paraphrase of Luther's explanation. This is how you know. You know because God's word tells you who this true God is. It's not about what you perceive or how you experience that in your heart or your mind. You always say, "What I cannot trust what's going on in my mind. I cannot trust what's going on in my heart. I must always cling to something outside myself." And in this case, it is always to the external word of God. This is why the creeds become anchors for faith, because they speak in very simple terms about who God is. I don't spend a lot of time trying to picture God when I confess the creed. I don't spend a lot of time worrying about whether my perception is. I simply confess what I've been given to say. I believe, therefore, I spoke. You confess what you've been given to say, which is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is foreign. I'll admit this. This is foreign to kind of the popular Christian way of thinking about God. Jesus in my heart. I kind of picture him. I picture myself. Recently, I was forced to sing the hymn in the garden. This kind of walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus and having an intimate conversation with Jesus, a very quasi-romantic relationship with him. This is not what our relationship with the true and living God is. Our relationship with the true and living God is established and maintained solely by that external word. It is always outside of me. So that I do not need to set my certainty or even worry about my certainty with respect to anything that I perceive inwardly, but always to listen to what God says and simply to cling to that. So I would direct you to Luther's Small Catechism. I would direct you to the second part of that catechism, the Creed, the Apostles' Creed, where Luther lays out in a plain and simple way what it is Scripture clearly teaches, reveals about who God is. And I imagine that after going through that and making this creed your own, who is my God? My God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What does it mean to have God as a Father? What does it mean that I worship God the Son? What does it mean that I confess the Holy Spirit? Here is where the Creed guides us, anchors us, delivers to us what Scripture clearly teaches, and gives us that certainty that what we confess, who we worship, is not a figment of our imagination or even a product of our imagination combined with God's Word, but solely based upon God's Word alone.
One final email before we bring on Pastor Katchmeyer. By the way, Tom, if you send your mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org, we'll send you a complimentary copy of Luther's Small Catechism.
Happy to do it.
Kevin, I attend a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregation. I suggested during a recent Bible study session that we as Christians are presented with a choice between good and evil in this world through God-given free will in order to know God better. Am I correct in this statement or view? My assistant pastor replied, no, that we are not given this choice. I would like your thoughts or guidance in replying to this email. Thanks for listening, Kevin.
Well, it depends on whether you're talking about man apart from faith in Christ or man who has been given faith in Christ. Apart from faith in Christ, natural man, that is man, unregenerate, fallen man, his will is bound by his fall into sin. He does not have the ability, either in his capacities, his mental capacities, or just most basically in his will, to choose what is good. In a civil sense, he can choose what is good and shun what is evil. But in a sense that is before God, he does not have that ability. He cannot choose what is good. This is clearly established by Paul in the beginning chapters of the book of Romans, where there's no one who seeks God, no one who does good. He's not speaking about regenerate man there. He is speaking about unregenerate man, whose will is curved in upon himself. It is directed away from God and his will, and it not only does not find God, it does not even seek God. It seeks only itself. That's unregenerate man. There we can say, along with Scripture and along with the confessions, along with Luther's great treatise on the bondage of the will, that we do not of ourselves possess a free will with respect to spiritual matters, or Luther would have said with respect to matters above us, beneath us, those things like what to eat for breakfast, we have a freedom of the will, but with respect to things before God, we do not. Now, clear line drawn right here after this paragraph. Now, if we talk about those who have been given the faith in Jesus Christ, the regenerate, the baptized, now, Scripture speaks of us very plainly as having a freed will. Do we still have a sinful nature? Yes, we do. But we also have a new nature given us by the Holy Spirit and daily renewed in us by the Holy Spirit through His Word. So a man has, the Lutheran confessions call it a liberated will. Where, in still possessing a sinful nature, he does now have the capacity, solely by the action of the Holy Spirit. Take the Holy Spirit away and he loses this capacity entirely. Solely by the action of the Holy Spirit to choose good, even in spiritual matters. Not only in those things beneath him, but also in those things above him. Is this exercised perfectly or carried out perfectly? No. The Holy Spirit is constantly working in us, as the Lutheran confessions say, new impulses, new motivations that both love, wish to do, and to a limited degree, because we are fallen and extremely weak, even as Christians, do God's will, to choose God's will. Now, a pastor who will tell you that man, that a Christian has no free will, has confused, tragically, man before the Holy Spirit and man after the Holy Spirit. And a pastor who will tell you that man has some sort of free will with regard to spiritual matters apart from Christ has also confused man before the Holy Spirit and man after the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a difference. Despite what everyone out there in evangelicalism is trying to convince you of, there's a difference between believers and unbelievers. The difference is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, God Almighty, able to create new things by God's word, able to make those things that were not as though they are, and to bring them into existence, like a new will, like a new nature. The Holy Spirit may be silent, but he is not passive. He is energetic and active in the Christian. And the difference between the unbeliever and the believer is simply the presence of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts he brings. And one of the gifts he brings is that liberated will. When we come back from this break, we're going to spend some time with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. It's part five of our series on the prophets and the divine tribunal. We'll be in the prophet Hosea. Stay tuned.
Time to take a fast train. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone. I'm going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
At Hope Lutheran Church in Sunbury, Ohio, you will find rest for your soul, strength for the day, forgiveness of sins, and hope for the future through Jesus Christ. Because at Hope, you'll hear the Word of God faithfully taught and receive the sacraments faithfully delivered. This is Pastor Ben Meyer inviting you to join us at Hope for Bible class and Sunday school at 9 a.m. and the Divine Service at 10:30 a.m. Find us on the web at hopelutheransunbury.org.
Continuing education for the Confessional Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.